I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. All the hymns of Lent do this to one extent or another. They turn our eyes, they focus our attention, and ultimately our faith upon Jesus in his suffering, Jesus in his agony. This is not some kind of gore porn. This is the heart of the Christian faith, where the Son of God in human flesh suffers for the sins of the world. It is real, human, and in a mystery we cannot comprehend, divine suffering. Why does Lent do this, and why can we even ascribe to those moments of suffering for Jesus on the cross glory? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Holy Wednesday. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin today's show studying the hymn Glory Be to Jesus. Then we'll discuss apparent contradictions in the Bible on the resurrection with Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Joining us to look at the Lenten hymn, Glory Be to Jesus, Pastor Will Whedon. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he's host of the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. What a joy to be with you.
Someone observing this hymn or other Lenten hymns might ask, how can we possibly talk about these moments of agony, suffering, shame, degradation, humiliation that Jesus suffers there on the cross? How can we ascribe to that glory?
Yeah, it reminds me of my sister-in-law, Bonnie. She's a Jehovah Witness, and her constant example of this when she sees like crucifixes and stuff hanging up in our house, it's, wait a minute, if my best friend were shot by a gun, I wouldn't be hanging the gun on the wall to celebrate, would I? And I remember thinking, you know, if your friend gave themselves into death to save you from the bullet and then rose victorious over that dead, why would you not hang up that gun on the wall to celebrate that? That couldn't stop him either. So the glory of the crucifixion is that this is the love of God in human flesh, that he wills to go to this tree to bear all of our sins so that they would never be able to separate us from God. And then he rises from this in victory. In all of John's gospel, it's almost impossible to tease out what glorification finally is, because it really is clear. Hey, John 17, he begins his prayer, you know, the Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. What hour is that? The hour of the crucifixion, the suffering, the death, as he's facing it, as it's coming right at him. He says this is his moment of glory, when he gets to suffer and die for the sins of the whole world so that he can bring the children of God together as one and present them to the Father. Lo, I and the children thou hast given me.
What do we know about the author of this hymn, Glory Be to Jesus?
Yeah, great question, because the answer is not much. But the history of it is really fascinating. It's most certainly an Italian hymn. We're not sure exactly what time it was written, but it looks like it's from the 1700s, maybe toward the end of the 1700s. It first shows up, though, in a manual of devotions that were produced in 1807 by an Italian priest, where it was assigned the value of 100 days out of purgatory for every day where it was prayed. And this, of course, could be applied to various souls in purgatory that you had, you know, your loved ones that were there. And the book was, you know, it's replete with these indulgences all over the place. Some people have speculated that it might have been written by St. Alphonsus Liguori, who founded the Redemptorist order. He supposedly, you know, sought to commend the gospel to a skeptical age by gentle and direct methods. He preached simply and to the heart. And you can see why the thought is, well, he could be the author of this beautiful little text. Our hymnal companion notes the irony, then, of a hymn that appeared in a Roman Catholic book of indulgences, ending up being so beloved of a Lenten hymn for Lutherans that a Lent without it seems unthinkable. Now, that's true, however, only for us English-speaking Lutherans. The piece was first put into English by Edward Caswell. He was one of those who departed from Anglicanism to Rome with Newman. And the hymn does show up already in the Common Service Hymnal, the Common Hymnal. And so it's been around inside of English-speaking Lutheranism for a long time. So long, in fact, that, you know, it's just like part of Lent to us. We can't even imagine Lent without singing it. My family loves to sing all four parts. I think we've got them all memorized. We can do this hymn pretty much from memory. It's just so much of a part of us. And the companion does address the question, you know, so why would Lutherans sing a hymn that's first of all shows up as, you know, with an indulgence of 100 days out of purgatory attached to it? Well, as the companion puts it, it passes biblical, confessional, and doctrinal muster. And frankly, it might not have been written for the purposes to which it was put in that Italian priest's 1807 manual. Isn't that a hoot, though? I mean, what a history.
Where would you locate the primary biblical text for Glory Be to Jesus?
Well, the primary biblical text, beyond shadow of doubt, is 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish. That's the whole of the hymn in a nutshell right there.
Let's hear the first stanza of Glory Be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus, who in bitter pains poured for me the lifeblood from his sacred veins. Where would you take us in this first stanza into Scripture?
So the constant theme of the hymn is just this, the blood of Christ. I'm reminded of a saying that is attributed to Billy Graham, that looking back over his long ministry, he said, I wished I'd have preached more about the blood. How beautiful that is. For the Roman Catholic author of the piece, as well as for the Lutherans who adopted this song and made it their very own, remember that the blood of Jesus is not an idea. It is not something long ago and far away, or something that has been swept up to heaven and kept there. It's indeed in the content of the chalice as the celebration of the Lord's Supper unfolds. And it's even in the baptismal waters. Luther's great hymn on this, do you remember how we sing, all that the mortal eye beholds is water as we pour it. Before the eye of faith unfolds the power of Jesus' merit, for there it sees a crimson flood. To all our ills brings healing, the wonders of his precious blood, the love of God revealing, assuring his own pardon. So the blood is not just an idea. The blood is not just some disembodied thought. It is first and foremost literally the blood that flowed from Christ himself, the blood that coursed in his veins. That's the blood we're singing about. So it's never detached from the one who shed it. And so this hymn is a doxology to him. Glory be to Jesus. And suddenly you're inside of what, Revelation 4 and 5. You're beholding the one that you hear named the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Conqueror. But when he shows up, he appears as, quote, a lamb as it had been slain. To him, all the praises of heaven are directed. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals whereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and blessing and honor and glory to the Lamb forever and ever. So, you know, make no mistake about it, the hymn, by glorifying Jesus in the shedding of his blood, puts us there, which means, you know, at the very center of the universe, what's going on forever and ever and ever is this constant awe and joy in the presence of Christ for the shedding of his blood. Now, bitter pain, who in bitter pain? That's, of course, a reminder of the horrors of the Passion, which are very much in front of the people of God throughout all of Holy Week. Above all, the scourging. The Romans usually did that. You're tied up to a pillar and you have no escape. And you are just whipped with whips that have horrible things like metal and glass embedded in the leather. And so it just literally rips the skin off of your back. We think of the beatings that he received, you know, the slappings on the face or the maybe also punches on the face, if you will, the mockery. Indeed, the crucifixion itself, all this is part of the horror before which he shrunk when the Father reached him that cup in the garden. But remember how he accepts it with his trembling hand. Thy will be done. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And he proceeds to drain that cup. Now, another really interesting thing in this first stanza, who poured for me the lifeblood from his sacred veins. The great Lutheran theologian Henry Esther Jacobs famously wrote that it's the job of faith to make the plural pronouns singular. I just love that. Think of Galatians, right? In the first chapter, Paul would say, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. And then when he moves to chapter 2, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see that move? Faith, saving faith, always recognizes that the universal promises of grace apply particularly to me. So this hymn puts the singer or the prayer in the position of confession. It says, Jesus, you shed your blood for me. And lifeblood also is important. And remember how in Leviticus 17, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The life is in the blood. So his blood carries to us life, and in his case, that's a divine and unending life.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're looking at the Lenten hymn, Glory Be to Jesus, on this Holy Wednesday. When we come back, stanza 2. Grace and life eternal in that blood I find. Blessed be his compassion, infinitely kind. I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Your church Easter egg hunt has been cancelled. But that doesn't mean there aren't wonderful treasures to be discovered at Ad Crucem. Celebrate your child's confirmation with Lutheran certificates, necklaces, and memory boxes, and wish all your loved ones a joyous, if socially distanced, Eastertide with our Christ-focused greeting cards. Put what you believe, teach, and confess on display with our Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, and Athanasian Creed. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Overnight, the world has become a strange place. The abnormal has become the new normal.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Every faithful little church is an ark of salvation. With Christ on board, we will get safely to the other side. Be of good courage.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Choir of Trinity College, University of Melbourne, with stanza 2 of the hymn Glory Be to Jesus. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Wheaton. What are your thoughts on the second stanza?
Well, you know, what's all in the blood of Jesus for us? That's really what this stanza is getting at. So he puts grace first, and that makes sense. God's free favor towards us. Listen to Ephesians 1, verse 7. Speaking of Jesus, in whom, he's the whom, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, his free, unmerited favor and gifts. But he doesn't stop with grace. He goes on to, and life eternal is in that blood. So you can't not think of the words of Jesus from John chapter 6, verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. These two embrace everything that he wants to give you. His forgiveness, so that his life might be your endless life, and so that you can rejoice in his presence forever. Remember, we've talked about this a number of times. I mean, I don't have an analogy better than electricity. You know, what happens if you grab hold of electricity without it being safely conducted to, the light is it's going to shock you. It might even kill you, right? It'll electrocute you. This is how it is. The only real life in the universe is the life of God himself. But because of our sin, this life is just death to us unless it is mediated in some way, wrapped up in some way, delivered to us in some way that it can light us up without destroying us. And that is precisely what the blood of Jesus Christ does. It delivers the life of God to us wrapped in forgiveness and grace and mercy. Blessed be his compassion, infinitely kind. Remember the conviction of the psalmist in Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all that he has made. That is, because it's his blood, the blood of that Lord, of Yahweh in the flesh, it carries to you a compassion that is infinitely kind. It is beyond any human limits. Humans like their limits. Remember how Peter, hearing Jesus teach, would maybe looking over at Andrew, would ask, well, wait a minute. How often is he supposed to be sinning against me and I actually forgive him? And he's willing to do it a number of times, remember, up to seven times, good biblical number. Yahweh in the flesh, Jesus, the Son of Mary, he simply blows past all of that, and he prays for us all as he is being crucified. I mean, I think that means we need to hear his entire crucifixion as this prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then what does he do? He sends forth his messengers with an embassy of forgiveness to the very ones who murdered him and hated him and sought to destroy him and said to him, you get out of our world and go away and leave us alone. Remember how Peter would preach in Acts 4, to you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from his iniquities. So, people loved by God, do you get what that means? It means that in Jesus, in his blood, there is forgiveness that's bigger than your sin, bigger than the sins of your family, bigger than the sins of your community, your nation, your world, bigger than anything, a forgiveness that is so vast that if you take the entirety of the world's sin and drop it into it, it would be like a tiny spark dropping down into the ocean. Blessed indeed be his compassion. This is what the psalmist sang of in Psalm 103. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. For the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. That to me is a very comforting and powerful stanza.
Here is stanza 3. Blessed through endless ages be that precious stream, which from endless torment did the world redeem. Pastor Whedon, this stanza picks up on that blessed be his compassion. Now it is a blessed stream.
Yeah. And through endless ages, this also touches on one of the great miracles of the church's life. Zasa observed this. He said, you know, the world is absolutely staggered that the church could possibly go on, you know, yakking about the same thing over and over again for 2,000 years, the blood of Christ, right? But the church knows she only goes on because that is the theme of her preaching, her worship, her teaching. It is the joy of her life itself. So the theme of the blood-bought redemption, it remains the song of God's people forever. And you hear it in Revelation. We already heard it a little bit there in Revelation chapter 6, I cited earlier. But think about Revelation 7, right? The vast multitude of saints pictured there. They're clothed in white. They've got palm branches in their hands. And how did they get their white garments? Do you remember? They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
And that's why they are before the throne of God. And that's why they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne dwells among them. They hunger no more. They thirst no more. The sun cannot beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, who is in the midst of the throne, feeds them and leads them to the rivers of living water. And God himself wipes away all tears from their eyes. All those goodies come to you through the blood that washes the garments white. And if you, you know, go on a few chapters in Revelation, in chapter 14, the crowd appears again. This time they got harps. They're singing a song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And we're told no one could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. It's a song that only the redeemed can sing, the song of being made clean in the blood of the Lamb, in the precious blood of Jesus. And so rescued. Rescued from what? Which from endless torment did the world redeem? You know, there is no appreciation for the blood of Christ where there is no recognition of what it saves you from. And that is from hell. And hell, it's not some fiction. We have to recognize it exceeds in horror all of the descriptions which Scripture gives us. It's like it heaps up these, at times, almost contradictory pictures of how it's like to get this idea across to us. It is outer darkness. It is eternal fire. It is gnashing of teeth and cold and agony. It is endless regrets and agony. It is being alone forever. Think of the rich man and his words in Luke 16. I am in agony here in this flame. There's no solace for him. It doesn't come to an end. It never stops. And that's where every last one of us would have ended up. Rebel sons and rebel daughters of rebel Adam and rebel Eve, if the Lamb had not interposed his blood. We would all have heard, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Every one of us. And it wouldn't be unfair. It wouldn't be unjust on the part of God. We would just be getting the very thing that every sin we commit actually demands. Go away, God. Leave me alone. I don't think the stark reality of this has been better stated than in an old piece of liturgy from the Lutheran Church. This is the Exhortation to Communicants by Dr. Chemnitz and Andrea. Listen. Since from the fall and trespass of our first parents, Adam and Eve, we have all fallen into sin and are guilty of everlasting death, and through such sin have grown weak and corrupted in both body and soul, so that we of ourselves can do no good thing, much less keep the commandments and will of God. And since, according to the law, we are cursed and ought to be eternally damned, as it is written in the book of the law, and though neither we ourselves nor any other creature in heaven or on earth could help us out of such sorrow and condemnation, God the Almighty has had mercy upon us. And of course, people loved by God, that mercy God has on you, it's what floods your life in Christ's own blood.
We're studying the Lenten hymn, Glory Be to Jesus. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He hosts a daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Stanza 4 is next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're journeying on in Hebrews. Able to save to the uttermost, we have such a high priest. The new covenant, the replica of the reality and its meaning, and redemption and the blood. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Will Wheaton, studying this Lenten hymn, Glory Be to Jesus. Pastor Wheaton, I know that you are a big fan of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion. Why are you such a big fan of this book?
Oh, man. How do I even begin to answer that one? We owe such a debt to Matt Carver, the translator here, for getting these awesome prayers into the hands of our people just in time for such a crisis as we're in right now. I mean, it has a prayer for every eventuality you could ever conceivably imagine, including living through a pandemic. Both prayer of a pastor during such a time and the prayer of people during such a time that beautifully shows how to pray through times of great tribulation, times of great cross-bearing. You know, I have a friend who I won't name who told me, I don't know, man, the prayers there for the daily prayers, I mean, it seems like they were obsessed with the idea that every night they were kept safe and woke up by God's grace, and it seems a little strange. It's like, does it seem strange now? You know, the prayers are absolutely wonderful. It has, in the first section of the daily prayers, prayers that are based on each petition of the Our Father, and you just can't unpack that prayer enough. So I can't recommend it highly enough. It really is like the prayer book. I know when I first encountered the German of it years ago, the one phrase that stuck out at me was this prayer. It's in the Saturday daily prayer, and it asks, you know, it's conscious. It's the last day of the week. My end is coming soon. And the recognition, well, Lord, may my last food, the last food to touch my mouth be the sacred body and blood of Jesus. May the last prayer on my lips be into your hands. I commend my spirit and the last thought in my heart, the very image of Christ and him crucified. I mean, prayers for this time, man. Great stuff.
You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order one. A fantastic Easter gift for your pastor as well. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Will, what should we be listening for in stanza 4 of this hymn, Glory Be to Jesus?
Well, this stanza really invites us to ponder the difference between the blood of Abel and all of the martyrs, in a sense, and the blood of Jesus, and how they actually speak different words. Can't wait to unpack that.
Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. Pastor Wheaton, it's really hard to outdo, I don't think they outdo it, but such a succinct summary of what we find in the book of Hebrews.
Yeah, that is for sure. You know, it's funny because we obviously we're tracking along right in this section of Hebrews now, and the word of the Lord endures forever. And this idea of the contrast between Cain and Abel, it's huge. We remember from Genesis 4, God says to Cain, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." And Hebrews 11 picks that up. You know, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And we're told in the 12th chapter that Christ's blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So earlier in Hebrews, we'd learned, you know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And surely Adam had taught that to his sons. And so Abel brings a blood sacrifice, a lamb from his flock, pointing ahead, as all the lambs did, to the lamb. But Cain, as idolatry always does, dreamed up his own idea and insisted on serving it to God. And he thought God was being rigid and ridiculous and intolerant not to accept whatever he would choose to give to him. The result was hatred and murder, of course. Abel's blood, the first human blood shed on earth. And you might remember how St. Augustine in the City of God literally frames the conflict between the two cities out from this account. The city of man centered in Cain with its demand that idolatry be accepted and persecuting the city of God, which we see in Abel and his offering, where the true worship of God is going on, and how just is determined to destroy him. This conflict runs all the way through the pages of the Old Testament. And his blood, of course, cries out for redress, for vengeance in that way, rather like the blood of righteous Zechariah. In 2 Chronicles 24, you remember, as he lay dying there under the hail of stones, he prayed, "The Lord, look upon it and require it." And so Abel's blood to Zechariah's blood to the blood of the martyrs of Christ through all the centuries, it all cries out for redress. Beneath the altar in Revelation 6, the saints are crying out, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood upon them that dwell upon the earth?" And folks, that is not vindictiveness. That is a cry for justice to the just one. And yet the just one, he has blood that speaks a different word. The blood of Jesus cries out for pardon. Hebrews 9 has it, "Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Or as Paul would say in Romans 3, verse 25, Christ, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, that's a wiping out of sin, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Or John, 1 John 1, you know, "The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." Romans 5, verse 9, "Much more, being justified now by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him." But, that's an important proviso here, but
if someone rejects what the blood of Jesus says for them, the blood that is offered in mercy, if one tramples the Son of God in the rush to sin and treats that blood of the covenant as a nothing by which they were sanctified, and so outrages the Spirit of grace, then the blood of Christ is no longer crying for mercy. It joins the blood of the martyrs, which from the beginning appeal to the just one. On the day of his appearing, when his wounds will be visible to those who pierced him, there will be waiting for those who would not shelter under the safety of his blood, judgment, death, and damnation. So there is this other sense of the blood of Christ, and it's speaking its alien word, but its proper word is to speak the forgiveness of sins. And I don't think anybody captured this more profoundly than the way Matthew tells in his account of the Passion, where he, you know, do you remember when you know, Pilate's ready to declare him not guilty, and the people cry out, no, 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 crucify him, crucify him, and his blood be on us and on our children, by which they meant we and our descendants, we will take responsibility for this just man being condemned to death if he's not a blasphemer and a liar and a murderer and everything else we told you about him. And they insist on that. And the irony of ironies is Christians receive that word as a prayer that we pray all the time. Oh, Jesus, may your blood be on us, and may it be on our children. May it be on every single human life. Your blood, your forgiving blood. May the word of your forgiveness of the shed blood of Jesus literally cover our every sin.
Here is the fifth stanza that we will hear and study in just a moment. Oft as earth exulting wafts its praise on high, angel hosts rejoicing make their glad reply. Prayers for anxiety, assurance, forgiveness, plagues, sickness. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April contains more than 500 prayers that cover almost any situation. It's titled Lutheran Prayer Companion. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or find out more and purchase Lutheran Prayer Companion by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April, Lutheran Prayer Companion.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
The Lenten hymn, Glory Be to Jesus, the fifth stanza. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon. Pastor Whedon, where would you take us in the fifth stanza?
Well, remember Colossians 1, verses 19 to 20. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So in Jesus and his blood, earth finds her theme of rejoicing, and so do the angel hosts. So you're back in Revelation 5, where you remember the 24 sing, the 24 elders sing, and then the angels get in on it, and then all creation joins, and it all forms one united choir. The redeemed and the angels sing together, and they sing to the Lord. But what they sing about is the blood. Listen to it again. Oft is earth exalting, waft its praise on high. The it's there. It's not earth's praise. It's saying, oft as earth exalting, wafts it the sacred blood's praise on high. Angel hosts rejoicing make their glad reply. Nothing delights heaven more than that earth's children sing together about the blood. Then they can't hold their amens back.
The angels rejoice that Jesus suffered on the cross?
Yes, they do. They do indeed, because they see what it has done. And it kind of points us toward the end of Hebrews 12, where you have this, you know, you've come to Mount Zion, you've come to the city of the living God, to the innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the just who are made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. But what's the crowning, concluding piece? To the blood of sprinkling that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. It all drives to the blood.
Stanza 6. Lift we then our voices, swell the mighty flood, louder, still and louder, praise the precious blood. What would you say of this final stanza?
Well, you hear that this makes clear that the it in the previous stanza is the blood. That's what's being praised. Praise the precious blood. And it's happening as angels and saints join in this assembly together. It's the assembly that's wearing their blood-washed white linen. And they all sing with one voice as the angels and the saints join in making loud praise to God. And this exhortation to loud and louder suggests the growing voices that across time have joined in the song. Think about how little the choir was at the beginning and how it grew and grew and grew, and how over the centuries it has continued to grow, so that now throughout the world there are people who join in praising the precious blood of Jesus from one continent to the next.
Pastor Whedon, does this stanza ultimately point us toward that endless day that you mentioned early on in our conversation, when this is what we will be doing for all eternity?
Oh, absolutely. It gives us that as a picture of where we are now. So eternity come into the present for you to enjoy right this moment. That is the very reality of the church's life in this age. We get to sing now the song that we will be singing forever. And the theme of that song will always, always be the blood of the Lamb, the blood of our Jesus that has redeemed us, made us one family, made us one choir with the holy angels, so that we with them can waft our praise and sing it louder and louder.
With about a minute, speak finally about how this blood isn't an idea or just an historical reality, the blood that he shed there at the cross that flowed out of his veins, but this is a blood that is brought by the crucified and risen Christ to us.
Yeah, he certainly didn't just speak of it as a past thing. It's something that he wanted to distribute to his people. Obviously, we're in a very painful time where receiving that blood in the Eucharist is not, you know, very possible in most places around the world. But
we certainly remember here that Jesus took thought for our great need for this blood and all that it would bring to us, and he didn't just carry it with him to heaven. He provided in the sacrament of the altar above all, but also in baptism and indeed in the word of absolution. He provided a means for the blood that was shed upon the cross to interact with us even now, so that what was in the past there is literally given to us in the present now, that we might have a foretaste of the future to which we are headed.
Let's hear the entire hymn, Glory Be to Jesus, then we'll get Pastor Whedon's final thoughts. And hymn, Glory Be to Jesus. Pastor Whedon, your final thoughts on this hymn?
Well, remember at the beginning of the book of Revelation, John is sitting all alone, as he thought, on Patmos, exiled for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus. But suddenly he's not alone, because guess who's there with him? Yeah, Jesus, who had promised, I am with you always to the end of the age. And Jesus never comes alone. And so there he is in the midst of the lampstands, which are the churches, and then heaven opens a window, and John really sees that he's not alone anymore. Angels and visions and God on his high throne, and the Lamb has slain the 24 elders, innumerable angels now, and all creation, all singing to the Lamb, and all singing about what his blood has done. So you sit at home, maybe all alone, maybe only with your spouse or with your spouse and children. But you've been exiled in a way, just as John had, and yet you are not alone. The Lamb with his blood is never far from you. Remember, he knows the hairs on your head because he's close enough to lean over and count them. And he's never alone. With him, the whole company of heaven, angels and saints. Sing this hymn, people loved by God. Sing it. And you will know that you are not alone. Listen as you sing and hear the echo of the halls above where our true home is. Whenever this time of exile ends, I pray that it will have taught us all this vast truth. Where the Word, there Jesus. Where Jesus, there the precious blood. Where Jesus with his blood, the whole lot of the redeemed. We're the whole lot of the redeemed, angels beyond count, and songs of praise that have no end. Louder still and louder, praise the precious blood.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, thank you.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Next hour, we'll discuss apparent contradictions in the Bible on the crucifixion with Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It is, in fact, his glorification. It is the highest glory that God gives to his Son to be the bearer of our sins there in his suffering and his death on the cross. He promised he would glorify his name, and there he did. And thereby, he won glory for us from the Father as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay with us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.